Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dudes behind the foods. Yo, it's the dudes behind the foods. Dudes behind the foods. Yeah, it's the dudes behind the foods.
That's actually really fucking good.
All right, howdy, partners. Welcome back to Dudes Behind the Foods.
My name is David Sell, and I'm the rootinest, tootinest, ching-chong, bing-bong, ling-long cowboy you've ever seen.
And my name is Tim Cletus Rongsu, and there's a snake in my boots.
Well, I'll tell you this, ain't nothing wrong with making love to your cousins. If they look cute and they want the D, you give them the D.
Bruh, let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Rick sent me a TikTok of a guy interviewing people in fucking like Alabama or some shit. And he's like, hey, so do you guys really be like, you ever like hooked up with your cousin out here? And the guy's like, yeah, a couple cousins. I mean, I'm more like, and this dude said something. He said cousins, more like mothers. He said something like, you know, like a little stepmother, something mother. And like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, bro. Like real casual. Like he was bragging about it. And I was like, hey, yo. Like, that's some shit, bro.
That's
like
some inside thoughts you don't ever fucking share out to the world, you weirdo.
I'm sure it's not all Alabama is like that, but it was some dudes in Alabama that were like, yeah, my cousin, yeah, a couple cousins.
Is that some real shit? I thought that was just like a funny little stereotype that we get to make fun of.
You know, of course, every stereotype, there's like a couple motherfuckers that actually do this shit. So I don't know. I'm sure they don't represent all of Alabama, but damn.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Versus battle, the Omarion and...
I saw the clips the next day on social media.
Man, I wish I never saw that shit. That shit, first of all, if you guys have been, this is the thing, and I think a lot of like old head celebrities are forgetting that the internet exists now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away with telling these stories about your grandeur, about how dope the concert was, when there's actual footage being recorded and the whole world is seeing this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit made me sad.
There was some Omelion.
Dude. When that fool.
With the watermelon?
With the water.
Here's the thing, right? Okay, so. Shout out to Omarion. We love Omarion here, right? Definitely, I thought, you know, you could have picked a sexier food to eat on stage if you were trying to demonstrate your cunnilingus skills. You know what I'm saying? I thought watermelon was such a weird choice. And you know, and we're not going to talk about the racial aspect of it. We'll let
the culture decide that.
Yes, we'll let y'all talk about that, because I know from reading World Star comments, yes, there were people that were bothered by that.
Oh, 100% they were.
Okay, I'm just talking about the not sexy aspect of it, because watermelon is just a solid piece that does not it doesn't remind you of a vagina at all. It's not like it. There's no. If anything, eat like a fucking piece of grapefruit or something soft and gushy, like the beautiful lady parts.
Yeah. Did you hear about AJ Raphael? He ate a piece of durian on my stage. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, what?
No, I'm kidding. AJ Raphael was doing his Red Roses album, and then he cracked open a durian.
Oh, oh my god.
Putang, this is good.
But yeah, the funniest part to me was when Jeremiah was singing, and I don't know if you saw this clip, but Mario was on the mic.
Talk. He was like, don't do this.
Yeah. Jeremiah's like, but we, and Mario's like, oh no. Stop. Just stop. I was like, yo, because at first I saw the clip and I didn't know that was Mario talking. Yeah. I was like, yo, he does not care.
Dude, that's the thing, too. It's like, first of all, with that versus battle, the matchup didn't make sense. Omarion is not a vocalist. Mm. And I think people forget, too, just because Mario had bangers and shit like that, he could dance and he was a performer, but he's a vocalist first, and then he had, like, the dancing attributes. I think Omarion was on the other flip, where he was such a good dancer, performer, really good-looking dude.
Yeah.
And then his singing was secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I see. Yeah, I won't disagree with that.
I thought the battle was a little mismatched. I was like, that's not equal.
I feel you.
You know?
Like, I mean, Omarion has that's a ballad, mm-hmm. but he's definitely more known for his dancier hits. I mean, bangers, of course.
Yo, for sure.
I mean, Omarion is
you know.
Yes, touch.
Oh yeah, oh, no. Touch. That shit right there was a banger, dude.
Speaking of bangers, I brought you some food. So check this out, Doc. I brought you.
Oh, green onions.
Some motherfucking.
We're doing duck.
We're doing duck.
Hey. Duck is one of my favorite proteins of all time.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Duck is so good. And I know a lot of people don't like duck because the only way you've had duck was duck a l'orange, the French shit, which is fine. It's good in how it is. But
y'all need to get down on how they do it in China.
All right. They go out there. They just chop out the heads. They let them dry out. And they eat them raw like a bunch of savages. And people the way they do it in China. But I got to tell you, I love Chinese people.
This shit right here is so fire. I wish I would have got two orders of it because we're about to go in.
Oh.
And so this is kind of like a Peking salad duck, but instead of the squishy bowls, this place gives you like this little tortilla situation.
Little wrap situation, which is very fucking good.
China. Fucking delicious. It's the best duck you've ever had in your life. I got it from a little spot called
Wuhan Labs.
Oh, God.
I can make those jokes. If you guys are first-time listeners, I'm Asian.
Yeah. Yeah, you motherfuckers. It's called... I forgot. It's at the Westfield. It's somewhere. Don't worry about it. It's really good.
this one don't know shit, dude.
It's somewhere. It's at that.
He's at the one spot where you come here and then you get the order and you get the fuck away.
It's at that Westfield Mall, the one towards whatever. In Century City.
You're fucking fumbling through this whole sentence.
Like
it's a what time when they come here, huh?
But yeah, so what you do is, if you never had it before,
can you do Asian accents?
I'm terrible at Asian accents.
Oh, guess what we're doing on this podcast today, Tim? I'm going to throw an ethnicity, and then you're going to do the fucking accent.
No.
Yes, you are.
I can't do it.
Just to give you guys a heads up, it's probably going to be really terrible, but accents are very fucking difficult.
I can't.
All right, Tim. Here we go. Chinese.
That's all, folks. All I can do is when you tell me to do a Chinese accent, all I can think of to do is it's a shitty walk from South Park.
Just imitate Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. He can say three words Chinese. Now you know how difficult I am. Oh. My daddy wants to catch a bullet with his bare hands. It was always my dream to eat the Magic Square Garden. Magic Square, Square Madden.
We are here to Square Madden.
We are filming right now.
That's hella good. You just have to do Jackie Chan.
Shit. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something too, dog, about Jackie Chan. This is so fucked up because I remember, you know, growing up, you know, when people want to make fun of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many like Asian celebrities that they can call you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I was younger, people would call me like, you know, when they were trying to roast or whatever, they call me Jackie Chan. Oh, he looked like Jackie Chan, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't look like fucking Jackie Chan. Until one day, dog, me and Rick went to the wax museum and I stood next to his wax statue. I'm like, holy shit, I kind of look like Jackie Chan.
Damn it!
I was like, I really do kind of look like this motherfucker.
Oh, he looked like Jackie Chan.
I'm just going to, oh, you sauce first? I'm just going to do a little dip.
I just made it a little easier on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm. Fire, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? And I'm going to do an ode to the Mexican homies and just cut off the end like this.
Mm-hmm.
And do a burrito style thing. Híjole de la chingada.
Oh, so bomb. Guys, if you never had some fucking Peking duck, dog, you guys got to do it, bro. Just go to like your local Chinese, like the real Chinese spots and get you the little, you know, get you the little, what is this? Mm. Cucumbers? What is this on here?
Cucumber. Let me tell you something here, Guaylo. This right here is the number one ultimate dish in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have this, you are racist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What kind of accent is that for the people that don't know Asian accents?
It's like an Americanized Chinese accent. I have very few different ones. And it's all just from things that I've heard my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only way I can do an accent is if I've heard it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grow up around a lot of like Chinese people specifically who speak like Cantonese from Hong Kong. Like, that's kind of how it sounds like. But, and that's literally this guy that I used to order Chinese food from, he used to talk like that.
Mm.
And I used to always make me laugh because it was like, his English is perfect, but he had this weird little, it wasn't very particular to the ones that you always hear on TV.
Right.
Because his English was fucking good. He just had an accent.
For the longest time, dog, growing up, I did not think my dad had any accent.
What do you mean, Tim?
I thought he just sounded like any other like dude speaking English until I got older, and I guess maybe from editing the vlogs and maybe like actually trying to do my dad's like impression of my dad, I'm like, oh, he does have like a Thai accent. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm so trash at Asian accents, dog. They always just, if I ever try to do an Asian accent, it always just kind of comes out like I'm trying to do a fucking, I don't know, Pakistani accent. Like,
as a side note, you know how fucking fat I am? I didn't realize that I just ate three of these things at once.
Same. I was like, why did they not give us the barely ones. Anyone's? Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, I just had like three.
I was like, this place needs to know how to make the thin ones. And I just ate three at a time. And I was like, how the fuck did they only give us two?
Do you, man, I hate when the taco trucks double up the tortillas.
I think they do that just because people just want to get full or something.
Yeah, it's too much for me.
I always take one off and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'll take one off or I'll like almost like divvy up the meat in between the two tortillas, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'll take the meat from the one and then use it for both tortillas, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just too much.
You know why? Because you, sir, are a man of what you call portion control.
Yeah, I try. I really try.
I am not that person. I eat until I black out. And then I see what happens and then I look at myself and I go, look at this back fat Betty.
Whoa, Shamu!
Oh.
Dog, we need to get back on the road and shoot some more food shit, dog.
Hey, when Thrill stopped fucking around, start sending us places because, let me tell you something, we're the only successful show on that channel.
Do I need to, like, just, you know, okay, so we've been shooting When Foodie Calls, right? Which is basically my thing I'm doing while Thrillist is fucking around. But, man, we need to just...
Oh, it's so good.
Hopefully I can get some money just from Patreon and then start taking us places again. You know what I'm saying? Like beyond LA and San Diego. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
But I mean, we could even go, I've been Googling shit like in Vegas, shit that we could drive to or just short flight shit where we could go shoot some more things. You know what I'm saying?
I still, leave in the comments below if you want this fool to go into a Thai gym and fight somebody, because I really want to see that happen so bad.
Let's do it.
Every episode, this motherfucker has me doing where I have to face my fears and shit, which is not what I signed up for. Anytime he has an opportunity to get me on a roller coaster, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to have to fight a Muay Thai champion.
Well, let's do it, then, motherfucker.
Oh, he's not a bitch.
Let's fucking do it, cuz.
Okay. Okay. Oh, speaking of matches, man, that guy Jake Paul, dude. He's fighting a real boxer now.
Mm?
Yeah, he's fighting this guy that was his training partner, and he's an actual pro that has a lot of matches under his belt. Albeit, I don't think he's like one of the best, but doesn't matter. He's a pro fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jake's size. If Jake beats him, don't ever put any disrespect on this kid's name ever again.
But you know what? If Jake beats him, people are still going to be like, he paid him to take a dive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Tyron Woodley one looks so sus.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, it's still sus till this day. But that's just my opinion. Doesn't mean it's fact. However, this one, I actually do want to see him win.
Yeah, and I think, you know...
he's still a YouTuber.
I think we're all waiting for him to fight a real boxer. And I think that's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. Speaking of which, Logan Paul signed a contract with WWE. Isn't that tight?
Hey, I don't care what you say about that fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
He's dope.
Yeah, entertaining as shit. We talked about this too. Entertaining, his athleticism on point. Fucking put on a show. Perfect for WWE.
I saw that clip of him doing that shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, you tell me if you could do that.
Right.
I could not.
Yeah.
Jumping, doing flips off a turnbuckle and shit like that. That is fucking amazing.
I had that issue with even people that like, not even just about Logan Paul, but just about people that would talk shit about professional wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the shit is like scripted, quote unquote, but it's also like...
Painful.
Painful. They put themselves through a lot of shit. They put on a good fucking show and they really do like hurt themselves in there. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're talking about. Bart and Joe, you guys can look this up. When they used to do this thing where they would do Just Kidding Party stuff and they would travel around, they did a lesson with real, like a WWE trainer
that
trains people how to wrestle. And they said it was fucking painful.
Really?
Like the slaps to the chest.
Oh, I bet.
He says they hurt so bad, like even bouncing off the turnbuckles, they were bruised the next day.
Mm.
Just from flying off that shit because it's just rope.
Right.
Like thick ass rope. And Bart said it was painful as shit.
We should do an episode of When Foodie Calls where we get some professional wrestling training.
I have to get buff first, though, because I don't want to be called fucking Rikishi. Everybody's going to call me Rikishi, and I'm never going to live it down.
I really want to do, like, so I've been doing a new show that's going to live, like, exclusively on Patreon, right, for me and my four boys, Rick, Peter, and Rick.
Very fun.
Rick, Peter, and Eric, and I want to do something... Where, like, because we have a homegirl that has a pole dancing studio. She's a stripper. She has a pole dancing studio. I'm like, yo, we got to do something where she teaches us how to do pole dancing. And we got to see who's, like, the best, like, pole dancing stripper, right? Rick was like, all right, hold on. Let me lose a little bit of this weight and we can do this shit. Because right now he's like, I can't even, you know, get on the pole, you know?
Let me tell you something, man. I would decline that so fast because I would become a meme in an instant if I go on that pole and it breaks. I was in... my parents forced me to take these SAT classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was never good at. I never paid attention, and most of the time I didn't go. But I remember one time I sat on this plastic chair, and it broke.
Really?
It was embarrassing.
Well, damn.
And I was so embarrassed to the point where I lashed out, and instead of just laughing with everybody else, I decided to go on a roast rampage for a month against everybody. And I started hurting everybody's feelings because I went home. I was like, I'm going to fucking roast the shit out of everybody.
For laughing at me.
And guess what? They thought that they were safe and they were not. Wow. And I did not deal with that very well. And I don't want that to happen again.
You broke the chair and it was like, you ever seen Carrie?
No.
Oh, so Carrie, she's like, this girl gets made fun of. And but what they don't know, she's like getting super bullied, but she has like telekinetic powers. Okay, mm-hmm. So and then at the very end, spoiler alert, sorry, they fucking play this prank on her because they were making her seem like she was like homecoming queen or something like that. But then they pulled a fucking like bucket and they covered her in pig's blood. So now, like climax of the movie, she's covered in pig's blood. She's pissed, and she just like fucking like. She charges up her telekinetic powers and starts just killing everybody. Fucking, kills like the whole gym of kids.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah,
That is fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an old classic?
It's an old classic. They redid it later, a few years later, but I mean, like, years and years later, but a classic horror movie.
Dude, I wish I had telekinetic powers, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would get so fat.
So, just open the fridge. Yeah. I like how you're not talking about any of the cool stuff. This one literally said he's going to use his telekinetic powers to open up soda.
That's just where my mind goes, dog.
That's fucking crazy. Bro, I can't wait to have telepathy so I could drink soda.
I wanted to do a web series years ago about, like, Jedis that are training. Like, they're like you're really trying to train their powers, but they use it for everyday life shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, on a date with a girl and pull her chair out. Shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like Jedi's in college and they're trying to figure out who they are, what they can do with their powers. Fucking diddle a clit with your Jedi powers.
Oh, you're Doctor Strange. There was a Marvel spinoff TV show that I auditioned for that I almost booked. And this was like when I first started acting, 4 years ago? And the person that got it over me was this fucking guy I don't like. He makes Asian people look so bad.
Okay.
But, thank God the show got shelved. So it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But went in, went for two callbacks, and I didn't get this opportunity because agent was super happy. It's like, dude, you're probably going to get this. This is really dope for you. And they're like, studio decided to pass on you because you don't have any TV credits. And I'm like, well, then how the fuck do I get TV credits then if you don't book me, dude?
Right.
And I was like, you know, I did make my own film, which I think is way harder than showing up on set and just doing lines.
True. You want another tortilla?
No, I'm okay. Okay. Tortilla. I don't think that's what it's called, but
I mean,
that's all we know. He doesn't even know the name of the restaurant. But what was I gonna say? What was that? What was
the
that
show? Marvel show.
Oh yeah, so the Marvel show was this. It's a bunch of Marvel misfits that have powers, but their powers only work like halfway. And so they're all fucking losers. And so the character that I was going for can float things, but only 2 inches above the ground.
Oh, it's so funny.
It was a funny fucking show. The script was fucking hilarious.
Really?
But it never got picked up. It got shelved.
Damn.
Yeah. And there was somebody else, too. It was like they could, like, read somebody's mind, but only, like, half a sentence.
That's so funny.
So the concept of the show was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I wish they would have brought it out because it would have been a hit.
Damn, is it based on comics? Well, it has to be. It's a Marvel show. I want to read that comic now.
I don't know if it was. I don't think it was based on a comic. It was something that they created themselves.
Interesting.
So, but they live within the Marvel universe.
Right,
so
right,
like,
right.
Like, the X-Men are still there, all that other stuff.
Wow.
And they're the misfits that don't really, they have powers, but not really.
Wow.
How fucking funny is that shit, dude?
That's really good.
And they actually go out and they solve crimes and they do some shit. Like, I forgot. I wish I could find the script that I had, but there was this thing where I had to, like, lift something for 2 inches, but it was like if this door closed, some shit would happen, but I could only hold it up for 2 inches. So the whole time, like, I was saving them just because I could stop the door from closing for this much.
That's such a great concept.
Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about The Boys.
Dude, you know, I had to watch that shit in Japanese.
What?
With English subtitles.
Why?
Because for some reason, the Amazon Prime that I was watching didn't have it in English.
What?
On the phone. I was trying to watch it, and it was only in Japanese, so it was throwing me off.
That's weird.
So I watched 3 episodes of it in Japanese with English subtitles.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Still fucking crazy, though.
It's so crazy.
And in fact, I didn't have to listen to any of the dialogue.
I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, I have to put subtitles on anyways because I have trouble understanding fucking Butcher's thick-ass accent. You know what I'm saying? Some of his, like, British slang he uses, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know?
But yeah, The Boys is, when people ask me what I'm watching right now, I'm like, oh, The Boys.
It reminds me of the cartoon, Invincible.
Yes, 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 yes.
Dude, Invincible and that, I was like, this is the live action version of Invincible, and this is fucking crazy.
Amazon is really going for that super violent superhero bag right now, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody's going for the superhero bag. I'm actually kind of tired of watching superhero shit right now.
But Amazon's doing the violent one.
I know. I'm getting so tired. Maybe it's because I'm doing so many movie reviews on Marvel films.
Yeah.
That I'm getting, like, exhausted. Like, it's taking the fun out of it for me
so
now.
So do you still feel like you enjoyed Thor: Love and Thunder, even though, like, some of the public did not enjoy it?
Oh, I don't care because, like, I told people I hated Ragnarok.
Yeah.
But I hated Ragnarok because I expected something more.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Thor, right, is that I even tweeted it out. The movie's terrible, but it's very enjoyable, right? It's like how I feel about White Chicks.
Mm.
To me, that was Nacho Libre and White Chicks.
Yes.
So if I expected it, is it a good film? No, it's not a good film.
Okay.
However, it's fucking funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I still say Nacho Libre is a good film, though.
Oh, well, Nacho Libre, well, that director specifically, he tried to recreate a few of that style and it didn't really work out very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Nacho Libre to me is a great film. But that in and of itself, it's like, okay, if you want to watch something, Christian Bale was fucking amazing.
Oh, fire.
You watch that movie, just watch Christian Bale and you'll see somebody who is so fucking good at acting, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Christian Bale killed it,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, and we're going to talk about it right after this break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Here's the thing, right? I feel like, what is a good movie, right? Because you said you enjoyed it, right? So that makes it a good movie for me. You know what I'm saying? Especially it's like, you're not going into the shit trying to watch like a fucking amazing piece of cinema. You feel me? It's like, okay, so for example, during your review of Multiverse of Madness, I saw a comment that like annoyed me because I thought this is so silly, where some kid was like, yeah, you know what? I mean, it was like, yeah, it was a really enjoyable movie, but when you look at the, what did he say? But when you like really analyze like the storyline or the something of it, it's like, it's pretty whack. I'm like, bro, it's a wizard fighting a giant eyeball at one point. Like, did you enjoy the movie or not? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you have fun in the theater? And did you like, was it a pleasurable experience?
The thing about Thor Ragnarok is, the reason why it was also enjoyable for me to watch, I don't have to watch the other two Thors to enjoy this movie.
Oh, okay.
Doctor Strange, you do. You had to watch WandaVision.
Yes, you really did.
So that was the biggest problem for me. Because I watched that 2 years ago in the beginning of the pandemic. So I don't know what the fuck was going on. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I had to sit and pause. I'm like, wait, why is this happening? Wait, why is this, you know? And then the people that I did watch it with, they didn't watch WandaVision at all. They walked away. They're like, this is dumb. This makes no sense.
Mm.
So Doctor Strange 2, you know, you'll watch the whole review on my podcast. I don't want to go too into it, but it was just, it wasn't even enjoyable for me. So that was problematic. With Thor Love and Thunder, because I knew of Taika Waititi's like style, and I know Sam Raimi very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just expected it to be really, really funny. Mm-hmm. I was just hoping it didn't have like the Lil Dicky type of jokes, which is the rambling and rambling on. And it didn't.
Yeah.
The jokes were super tight, very purposeful, and very funny. And
you didn't like rambly jokes?
No.
I love rambling jokes.
I hated in film and TV because we laughed and they're still continuing the joke, and it's like, it's not funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I laughed already, and nobody's laughing now.
Mm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that's what Lil Dicky does. Lil Dicky on his show, Dave, will be like, oh, he was like, oh, yeah, is that Peking duck? I love Peking duck. You know, when I was in third grade, like my teacher brought up Peking duck. I thought it was really gross. It was really insensitive of me. But, you know, at the time, you know, Chinese people weren't that cool. I mean, they're really cool now and they'll just keep going. And it's.
I love it.
I'm just sitting there just rolling my eyes. It's like the joke is already done. Like,
well, here's, I really like that type of awkward, traily, offy, cringy I comedy. Like that
a little bit.
Okay.
I don't like it for 30 minutes out of a fucking 40-minute show.
Give me 39 minutes and 15 seconds of that shit, dog. But, you know, it all depends, too. You know, like, specifically, like, Taika Waititi, and I understand why you were concerned about that, because I think that very dry sense of humor, especially, like, you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, their show, I can understand why someone would get annoyed of the long, awkward jokes, because their shit is so dry, but I loved it. And it would be shit like, where it's like, did you get the duck from the store? Like, no, I didn't get the duck because it said it was expired, but I wasn't sure if it was expired. Like, well, was it expired or not? As if you said it was expired. Was the duck not expired? He's like, yeah, but it wasn't. I wasn't sure because there was a sign that said it was expired. But that, dog, I watch that and I crack up. I love that.
Tim likes everything.
It's not true.
Tim likes everything. And wow, you scared me a little bit. Right there.
Because that's not true. I can appreciate many things. There are actually some movies that I don't like. I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell, all right? Like, Anchorman is like my shit. I know that movie. I can quote it.
The Other Guys is one of my top comedy films of all time.
So great, right?
I could watch that film every time and cry laughing.
So well written. Like, the humor is on point. Like, it's great, right?
You don't have to call it beautiful. She looks like shit.
it's all good. It's quotables on quotables, right? Yeah. So I sat on a plane after people fucking trashed that Will Ferrell Sherlock Holmes movie, and they were like, this looks stupid. Like, people that just saw the trailer were like, this looks terrible. They're not going to get my money. And that already annoys me. I'm like, yo, it's a 2-hour long movie. This is 2 minutes of it. Give it a chance before you talk your shit, right? Mm-hmm. I sat on a plane. I tried my hardest to get through it, and I could not. And I really trying to fight for movies, dog. I'm like, maybe just the first 15, 20 is whack. But this shit, I got through like half of it. And I was like, this shit sucks. And I turned it off and I watched just Bob's Burgers reruns because it was so bad.
The funny thing about Will Ferrell, if you don't know, mm-hmm. Will Ferrell openly put this out in a statement that he is just making movies that he has on his bucket list. It has nothing to do with whether you like it, whether it's good writing or not. This fool did a Lifetime movie with Kristen Wiig just because he always wanted to be in a Lifetime movie.
And really?
It's not a comedy at all, but it's fucking funny because it's Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig. He just did that just because he wants to. You know that he did that film where he did it all in Spanish.
Like, I know.
You right?
I saw it. It's so not great.
It's not a good movie. But yeah. That's a part of his bucket list.
You put your mouth on this?
No.
Tight.
That's a part of his bucket list where he wanted to do like a Spanish ranchero fucking movie where he only speaks Spanish.
It was all right.
And that's why he did it. So he's at that point of success now where he's just creating things just because he wants to do it, whether it's good or not. He doesn't really care. He's having fun and he's enjoying it.
I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Which that's like the level that we're all trying to get at, which is fucking amazing.
I hope you're ready for the movie I'm writing for us. It's fucking dumb.
Hey, I don't mind a dumb movie. Like, yeah. I said, Nacho Libre, also in the top 10 funniest movies of all time for me.
Here's my goal for the movie I'm writing for us. I want it to be so dumb, but I also want people to cry.
That can happen.
Harold and Kumar 2, I got so teary, bro.
Pussy.
What part? Okay, so at the end, spoiler alert, sorry guys. When he breaks into the wedding and she's like, what are you doing here? Like, there's nothing you can do to like make me feel any less embarrassed than I am right now. And he fucking starts reciting the poem about the number 2 that he wrote that he would never say to her through their whole relationship. He's like, no, I'm too embarrassed. And he starts reciting this poem, and it's all about like this fucking nerdy ass poem about like, I feel like the number 2 because it doesn't have a fucking integer or some shit, and it's like lonely, but now I found my whatever the fuck it's about, right? And I was like, oh my god, this is so cute.
You're so stupid.
No, it's facts, bro. You know, it's like he finally, you know, broke down his walls and, you know, let everything loose to show that he loved her, you know?
And that's why you thought Doctor Strange was a good fucking movie, bro, dude.
Doctor Strange. Well, here's the thing, too.
The fighting scenes were fucking whack. That musical note fighting scene was super whack, okay. Dude.
I agree.
And that was the thing I was looking forward to, and they ruined it.
Musical note scene was whack. But here's also...
Here's a hot bing. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Here's also what contributed to my enjoyment of that movie is, and I feel like I can use this as part of it because going to the movies is part of the movie experience, all right? I saw that shit opening night at the premiere with die-hard Marvel fans. Motherfuckers that when Doctor Strange's wife says, yeah, we're calling your universe 616, they went, because it confirmed the timeline and shit like that. Yeah. Like, hardcore fans, right? So it was like, shit like that was happening, and I'm talking about the theater was erupting. So I'm gassed up watching this shit, right? Fucking, like, Professor X comes rolling in. I can't even hear the movie. It's so loud. And I'm like, I got chills from this shit, okay? So as a Marvel, as an X-Men fan, I'm having a great time, right? I couldn't even hear them playing that in the theater because it was so loud. So for me, it was like, when they started the shit so energetically and so many things going on, I was like, oh, this is just gonna be straight, like, fun. And that was how I went about watching it. I'm like, there's going to be just a whole bunch of just crazy fun, mad colors. And I thought, like, and as an artist, someone who dropped out of art school, that scene where they're going through the different universes.
It was the best scene.
Blew my mind, right?
That was the best scene.
So it was like shit like that. I mean, I agree. I can definitely agree that the music note scene was very whack. But overall, for me, I just thought it was fun. Thought it was really fun.
Also, too, like, the movie is called Multiverse of Madness. We only saw, like, two or three universes. Like,
not in that one scene.
Yeah, but see, that's all they did. Oh, that was so disappointing.
It
was
I also loved WandaVision. And,
oh, no, WandaVision was great.
Yeah.
WandaVision was fucking dope.
WandaVision also got me emotional. From one line of dialogue, bro. And I thought maybe I was being like overly fucking analytical and sensitive about it, but then the next day when it dropped, everybody was tweeting that one line. Do you remember this?
Which line was it? It's been a long time.
I randomly think about this shit because I thought it was such just a beautiful thing that was written. When Wanda is talking about how like she can't get over the deaths of her family and her brother, and Vision is like, what is grief if not love persevering? And I was like, oh, wow, that just gave me, like, literally, touch my nipple right now.
God damn it. I get it! Dad, that was the hardest nipple I've ever felt in my life. That shit felt like a jelly bean.
Wow. Yeah. They're still just as erect. So
just to let you guys know that when Tim cries, his nipples get hard.
So I loved WandaVision. I love how everything tied in, you know. But I can totally understand how someone who didn't watch WandaVision would be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
you know?
But also, too, like, WandaVision makes sense because a lot of these things, too, like in Marvel films, like, it's very hard to tell these comic book stories that take literally 300 comic books to explain in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it has to be very, very purposeful, right? And that's the thing about that Doctor Strange thing, too. Like, it would have been more forgivable for me if I got to see more of Doctor Strange's personality, too. Mm-mm-mm. Especially because he's such a funny, witty guy, right? And that's the thing about Thor Ragnarok. Mm. There's so many good jokes. Like, the jokes, whoever wrote the jokes were really, really good. That's what I could appreciate about it, right? So what I mean by, just to go back to, like, why this isn't a good movie, there's a lot of reasons why it's not a good movie, right? And I don't want to get into that right now because it's going to be a whole review.
Mm-hmm.
However, as a movie, the first thing I do when I watch a movie is what? I just watch it just to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not analyzing it. I'm not looking for, like, Easter eggs, none of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is I was dying laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I enjoyed it. Now, when I look back at it, and in terms of, like, what I want from character development, all this other stuff, and all that other stuff, it wasn't going to be there because I already was disappointed with Ragnarok, right? And even the style of jokes I didn't like in Ragnarok, but the style of jokes I liked here, so it was forgivable for me. And there were certain jokes that even people didn't fucking get in that theater, dude.
I know.
They didn't get it. I was like, bro, that's such a fire-ass joke.
And that's the thing about humor, right? It's like, it's so subjective. Everybody has a different sense of humor. And your type of humor can make or break that shit for you, which is like...
Dude, you want to read an annoying comment? Somebody wrote on the comments, they're like, dude, comedy is so subjective. So I was like, how could you not like Ragnarok? Your taste in comedy is so poor. I'm like, you just said it was subjective. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, you could like it. I don't care if you fucking like it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm just doing a review.
That's why I will always leave a comment arguing with you in your comments when you drop a movie review.
You jackass. This one was like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much.
Because when we have opinions on shit, right? Our fans, majority of the time, are gonna co-sign us.
Not my Marvel ones, dude. Not my Marvel ones, that's for sure.
That's why I was like, I'm gonna go in and be a voice for the people in David's comments, and we'll talk about it right after this break.
We're talking about.
Okay, check this out, David. So, what would your superpower be if you were a Marvel superhero?
I want to be able...
Wait, have we talked about this?
We have, but I'm switching up my answer because originally it was time travel for the money reasons. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, you know what? I don't need money like that, dude. Life is too short for all that shit. What the fuck am I going to do with all that money?
Yeah, and don't you realize that's going to ruin the space-time continuum, dog?
Okay, nerd. Anyways. I would... not Doctor Strange level... But I would dream walk.
Oh, okay.
Like, I want to be able to dream and then go into other people's dreams.
Do you dream vividly?
I dream very vividly. Mm-hmm. And then the funny thing is, because it was Doctor Strange that talked about all these dreams are different multiverses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's all I think about now. Where I'm like, dude, that dream that I had, I was getting my dick sucked. And it's real.
So I've had that thought for a long time that... Maybe, I don't want to say all dreams, but maybe some dreams are like parallel universes. You feel me? And I think that specifically because, I don't know if I ever told you about this. I ever tell you about that hotel I would go to in my dreams all the time?
No.
Okay, so I have certain locations, right, that only exist in my dream. Like, they're not real world places. But I go to these very specific spots in different dreams, all right? Like, there's a restaurant that's not McDonald's that has like a clown on it that I've been to with different people, different friends, girls, whatever. It only exists in my dreams though, all right? And there's also this hotel. And I remember it very clearly. It's like red lights and it's like a red door. And there was 1 week, and if y'all watch the No Chaser podcast, you've heard this story, but there was 1 week, and you know, it's blurry now. I'm trying to remember if it was 1 week that I kept dreaming or if I kept waking up and going back to sleep in different dreams, but it was different dreams, all right, where I went to this hotel, and let's say dream number one, let's say it was like Monday, right? I get to the hotel and I'm in the elevator, and I met this old couple, and they're like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. I'm just checking in. And they're like, oh, well, cool. We're having a party tonight in our room if you want to come by. I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I will, right? I wake up. Now I go back to sleep. I'm in a new dream. I'm back at the hotel, though. And I run into the couple, like, in the lobby, right? And this is a new dream. And they're like, you should have came to our party last night. It was really fun. You missed it. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, sorry about that. And it was multiple dreams on different occasions where I'm back at this hotel, but it was picking up where it left off. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to the same people. And they're like, oh, dude, yeah, where were you last night? You should have came through. You missed it. You know what I'm saying? And so that, when I woke up from that, it made me think, is this shit really existing somewhere?
Yeah.
You know? And like when I, and like this alternate whatever, am I like surfing through different parallel universes and I'm there for this week and just kind of interacting with these people?
So this place, no matter what dream that you have, this place exists.
It's not every dream.
But for a lot.
But it's there. Yeah. There's different places that are there, like the clown restaurant, this hotel.
Have you ever died in your dreams?
I haven't died, but I've you know when people are falling and then they wake up before they hit the ground? I've hit the ground.
And you're okay.
I just got up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a dream where, so this is a weird, creepy dream. So I'm at this, so The day is very, very gloomy, like a Seattle type of gloom, right? Mm. There's a truck stop in the middle of fucking nowhere, and I'm going there to get some food. So I walk into this truck stop, and it's like a very old-fashioned diner. A lot of the colors are really muted. Mm. There's a waitress wearing her kind of like an older-looking... It's a young girl, but she's carrying a baby, and her diner outfit's a little older. It's a little dated because it's like a small town.
Yeah, yeah.
I go in, and then she's holding this baby, and I'm sitting down, and I'm trying to order my food, and I see she's struggling with this child. I was like, hey, leave your kid here. I'll hold your kid, and then, you know, just continue to wait the tables, and I'll help you out. And she goes, thank you so much. She goes, she starts waiting at the table. You hear this door just fucking swing open, and you hear the bells clatter, you know, bring, because he smashes it really open. He goes, where the fuck is whatever her name? Mm. He looks over, and he goes, why the fuck is this guy holding my kid?
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, I'm just watching your kid while she's getting these. I was like, there's nothing between us. He goes, why the fuck are you holding my kid? Mm. I was like, oh, hold on a second. And he goes, like, drop my fucking, let's take it outside. So we go outside. I go out first. He follows me. I turn around. He puts a gun to my head and shoots me.
Mm.
Blasts my head. And I fall backwards. Everything goes black. And I wake up and I'm back at the dining table and I'm holding this kid again.
Ooh!
Yeah. And so then the same thing is happening. It's like that Groundhog's Day thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and I'm kind of like processing everything. I'm looking around. I see the girl. She's waiting the table. I'm holding this kid and I hear the ring. Bing.
Damn.
Guy comes in. Why the fuck are you holding my kid?
Tight.
And I'm like, I've been through this again. And I'm like, hold on, let's go take it outside. Mm. So I let him go first this time.
Mm.
And then he comes out. He turns around and I shoot him in the fucking head.
Ew.
And I kill this guy. And then I wake up. Back at the same spot.
Tight.
Weird fucking dream. That shit creeped me the fuck out, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
was one of the most vivid dreams I've ever had in my life.
Oh, man, I love shit like that.
That shit trips me out. Yeah, I've also had, like, since we're sharing dreams, yeah. I shared this one on my podcast where it's about a person that we actually know.
Okay.
And I've always felt like weird things about this person because of their type of behaviors. They seem very, like, untrustworthy human beings.
Okay.
And it turns out that that's how they are anyways.
Can't wait to find out who this is.
Yeah, but I'm into this forest, right? It's big forest, big evergreen trees. Light is kind of leaking through. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm going through the forest, I walk through and I see this castle in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the trees are cut out and there's this beautiful castle, very old fashioned, multiple colors on the castle. We're talking about pink, purple, yellow, and it has these old wooden slats up and it has that old fashioned circular window with the cross hatches at the top. I walk in and it's like kind of like Beauty and the Beast. If you see a Beauty and the Beast type of castle, but it's daytime, so light's leaking through, but there's no lights in there.
Okay.
So I see this spiral staircase. I walk up, I go in, and when I walk into this room, it's a daycare.
Okay.
With all these colorful toys around. And I look up, and there's this huge, gigantic robot.
Okay.
Right? He looks at me, starts walking, I'm freaking out. He starts fucking fritzing out, falls over, and then I look at him, he goes, don't trust that person's name. And I'm like, ooh, what? What are you talking about? and that person's voice, and I realized after who that voice was, that was the voice of her manager that she fired.
Hilarious.
Right? And I was like, what the fuck does he mean? And I turn around, and then that person who I'm talking about is next to me, but that person is a fox.
Okay.
Right? And if you guys know about foxes, like in folklore, foxes are very sly creatures, mm-hmm. right? They kind of, they're mischievous, they do certain things.
And in Zootopia that your wife worked on.
Yeah. And so this whole shit's happening, and then she's like, we have to go, we have to get out of here. So I'm running out, and the whole scene is changing as we're running out. I jump into the car, I get into the car, I look over, and I have it written in my phone because it's so descriptive. I'm mm-hmm. forgetting a lot of parts right now. But you look over and that person's not a fox anymore. It's that person again.
Yeah.
And then they're just rambling, talking about everything. I'm like, dude, you know what the fuck just happened? Like this castle collapsed behind us. This whole world, like the sky is all these different colors. I look forward again. I look back. They're a fox again.
Mm.
And they're like growling.
Mm.
Right? They're growling, but they're smiling at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that fox starts to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Starts laughing like crazy. Like,
yeah.
And I'm freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And every time I look forward and I look back, the person's changing constantly.
Okay.
Fox, human. And I go in and then we stop into this town. The freeway ends and it stops into a town. And there's a family in a Winnebago. And I look up to him. I was like, hey, I need you to save me because this person that I'm with is, I can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to save me. And so we look back and they're like, okay, we'll help you out. And they're like, hey, I have to go ahead and fix this person's Winnebago real quick. And then the fox is chilling on the car and smoking.
Okay.
Right? It's like, go ahead, do whatever you want. And we turn around, and then the scenery is kind of like changing a little bit. Like it's going darker and darker. Like clouds are coming darker and darker and darker.
Yeah.
We freak out, jump into the Winnebago. The family starts driving me off, and then I wake up.
Mm.
But the idea with that was that this is a person who I've always had weird feelings about, right? Like they're not very trustworthy. They they tend to gaslight a lot of people. Mm. They have all these like negative behaviors, and they kind of manifested into this creature, which was a fox in the dream.
Yeah, in your subconscious.
Yeah, trippy, dude.
Isn't that crazy when shit is so vivid like that?
It feels like I lived it.
Yeah, no, okay, so there's also one of the most vivid dreams I've ever had, and I was super young when I had this dream. Like, I literally could close my eyes, and it feels like I'm pushing play on a fucking Blu-ray. It's so clear, right? So, in this dream, I think I had this dream in high school. First, I'm going to a mall that I'm very familiar with, Lakewood Mall, I think, but I'm going through the back entrance for some reason, and I feel myself being like, someone's chasing me, like a shadowy figure is chasing me, right? So now I'm like sweating, I'm nervous. I'm trying to get away from this figure. I'm going through all these different staircases, right? So I think I finally find a door to go into the mall. But every door that I go into is like a fucking weird scenario. Like the first one I go into, it's just a room full of mannequin heads. Only mannequin heads. And I'm like, what is this, right?
Twilight Zone.
I go into another room. It's a classroom full of like high school kids just staring at a staticky screen. And I go up to one of them and I'm like, hey, I need your help. I'm being followed. And no one's moving. I fucking punch him in the face, doesn't move. I'm like, okay, I gotta get the fuck out of here, right? So now I'm going, I'm still being chased. I feel myself being chased. And then so I end up in an abandoned like toy store, like a KB Toys in the mall, you know what I'm saying? But it's like old, all the lights are out. There's plants everywhere hanging off. And then a fucking like little like older, dark-haired lady, witchy-ass lady comes out from behind the corner. She's like, I know what you're looking for. I'm like, okay. So then she pushes a button on a robot in the middle of the room, and it starts to shake. It starts to shake and smoke. And first it shines a light on a globe, right? And it's like, no, you aren't ready for that. And then it shakes and shines a light on a fucking Tickle Me Elmo doll. And she's like, no, you're too old for that. And then the robot shakes, shines a light right into my chest. And she goes, that's what you should be looking for. And I woke up. And as a kid, I was like,
And then you became who you are now.
And then I woke up and there was cum all over my shorts. It's crazy.
That dream is fucking nuts. And that was, how old were you?
I was in high school.
Damn, you still remember that one.
Yeah, I was like probably like 16 when I had that dream.
Dude, this is a really creepy dream where I talked about a dream where I died. Mm-hmm. This is a dream where I killed somebody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
This dream was so fucking, it felt so fucking real because of the immense guilt that I felt, right? Like I couldn't, so long story short with this dream, and once again, it's in my phone somewhere. So if I told the story before and the details are changing, it's because I can't remember it exactly. Like even with that one story that I told you there, there was like extra details that I added that I know I didn't tell in the other one. But long story short with this is like, I ended up killing somebody, right? And I was looking for a place to bury them so I wouldn't get caught, right? But I literally buried this person in the basement, like John Wick style, where his like clothes were, or like his fucking money and stuff was. And I buried him underneath. But a family party was coming to the house.
Oh!
And so people were coming in. It was like Mariel's family or whatever, whatnot, too. And this person is there. And every time, like, people wanted to go check out the basement because they'd never seen a basement in an LA home before.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh, you can't go down there. They're like, why not? I was like, why can't you go down there? I was like, you just can't. Like, it's not ready yet. It's messy.
Mm.
So basically, I tell Mariel, like, listen, I killed a man.
Mm.
And she's like freaking the fuck out. She's bawling in front of me. She's like, I can't believe you killed somebody. I was like, so are you going to turn me in?
Yeah.
Because if you are, I understand, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm a murderer. So I don't want you to live with this guilt. And she goes, I'm not going to. This is our secret now, right? Down ass bitch,
ride
dude.
Or die.
Yeah. Ride or die, dude. And she was like, this is our secret now. I was like, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to distract your family. I'm going to take this body out and I'm going to bury it somewhere else while her family's around and they're being distracted because they're out in the front. This is a big house. And I'm literally like crying because I have to look at this dead body, right? I don't even know who this person is, right? This person, actually the person that was buried didn't have a face.
Mm.
So I'm dragging this body away and then I see this tree and I decided to bury the body next to the roots, because in my head I was thinking like, oh, this tree can absorb whatever. I don't know why that logic happened, but I buried this body next to the tree, and I'm sitting there, and I sit there with my legs crossed Indian style, and I'm staring at the house, at this hill where this tree is, where I just buried this body, and I just start crying, right? Mm. And as I'm crying...
Very funny way to cry too, by the way.
like this Indian style. And I just start bawling, right? And then next thing you know, I feel something on my shoulder, and it, like, the tree put its branch on my shoulder, right? And it basically said, like, you didn't have a choice. And then I wake up.
Damn.
That shit was trippy, dude. I woke up, like, in tears.
Wow.
Because I was, like, living with this guilt that I killed somebody, and I don't even know how I did it, why he died, what happened. I just know that in that part of the dream that I remember, something probably happened before that I don't remember, but I killed him, and I felt immense guilt. Ooh. And I wanted to turn myself in. But, you know, Mariel was the one that convinced me not to. Said, this is our secret. You can't go to jail. So I decided not to because I didn't want her to be unhappy and sad. But I wanted to pay for the things that I did.
Oh, dude, that was you burying your dream of becoming an actor so you could do podcasts. And Mariel was like, you know, she's still going to love you regardless of what you do.
That is so symbolic.
We actually brought a dream expert on to No Chaser one time because I love that shit so much. And it was probably the most like hyped I've been on an episode of the podcast. And I've told this shit on my shit, of course, but I want to talk to you about it, right? I had a dream about my cousin. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Okay, so I had a dream.
You Alabama boy.
not that type of dream. So in my dream, I'm at my cousin's funeral, okay? Yeah. The whole family's there. We're at my cousin's funeral. But I'm looking at the casket, and it's moving. It's like there's someone in there. There's moving still. And I'm like, hey, guys, are we sure we want to do this? Like, look at our casket. Like, look at the casket. He's still alive, right? And so that was the gist of the dream. I woke up. I was like, that's weird. I haven't spoken to him in a while, right? Let me just text him, right? I texted my cousin. I'm like, hey, bro, like, are you good? How's everything? He was like, yeah, I'm good, man. Why do you ask? And I was like, all right, well, this is weird, but I had a dream I was at your funeral, LOL. Just, you know, I decided I should, you know, just say what's up, you know?
I'm dead.
And he's like, that's funny that you say that, because last week I was feeling suicidal.
You have powers, bro. You have powers, and you were pretending here saying, what would you do if you had powers? And you've had powers this whole time.
My dreams make people suicidal. It's weird. No, but he's like, I was actually suicidal last week, and this was around when Robin Williams killed himself. And he's like, it wasn't until Robin Williams' suicide, it made me realize I needed to talk to somebody about it. But he was like, yeah, that's crazy that you had that dream, because, yeah, I was going through it. I was like, oh, shit.
You saved somebody's life.
Yes, with one text message, hey, I did it.
Are you good? Question mark. Well, I was drinking hydrogen peroxide right now, but I decided to spit it out when you texted me.
He's like, yes, he has like the fucking knife to his shit. He's like, Tim just texted me.
You are a savior, dude.
I guess so.
Did I ever tell you this, though, before we sign off, man?
We're not signing off. We're talking about dreams for 3 more hours. Dude, sorry, Robin Couch.
This is.
I'm into it.
Oh, that sounded sexy as hell. There was, wow, I'm slightly turned on. So years ago, you know, you were talking about, you made this reference to Funny Fat Fit, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did this thing back in the day where I was trying to get some, and I literally started because a lot of these viewers who are watching me, they were developing bad habits with like food because of me, because they would see somebody like me and they go, oh, you're a bigger guy. You seem really happy. Oh, you don't confident. Really care. You're confident. I could be big too. Right. And I'm like, well, that's fine if that's what you're doing. But I was like, but I'm also very unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know,
diarrhea, heartburn, every
all
night.
That other shit. Yeah, yeah. And so this is when I first tried to lose like that weight. And there was a kid when I went out to Denver and I did this show, shout out to this guy. I don't remember your name, but went there. 2 years in a row. First year I went there, and I remember this kid so fucking much because his hands were shaking violently. And then he looked down at the floor and he wouldn't talk to me, right? But he was just there. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I gave him a hug. I helped him relax a little bit. And it was like a really good moment, right? Just because I wanted him to feel comfortable. And he looked like he was going to cry. Not because he was excited to see me, but something was off. And I just remember like saying what's up to him or whatever. The And I remember that specific guy. And then the next year, this other guy comes up to me and smiling, happy, whatever, whatnot, gave him a hug, whatever, whatnot. He goes, you don't remember me. And I'm like, nah, who are you? He goes, do you remember this kid last year? I was like, that was me.
Mm.
This dude lost like 70, 80 pounds.
Amazing.
Watching Funny Fat Fit.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was like, what happened? I was like, dog, you look amazing. I was like, first of all, you lost way more weight than me, you fucking bitch. You know? And this guy looked, you know, happy, a lot more fit, really good. I was like, what happened? He goes, you know, to be honest with you, when you saw me last, that was the first time I left my house in like a year.
Oh, damn.
Because I was in that theater in Denver at that Batman screening that got shot up.
Oh, wow.
And I came out to see you that day because I look up to you.
Wow.
And that was the first time I left my room.
Damn.
In a year, because he had PTSD from that shit.
Wow.
And then he saw Funny Fat Fit and he just, you know, saw all my videos and it helped him like kind of get his shit together. And then he was like a different person.
That's crazy.
Eye contact, super handsome dude. Just being able, the life of the party type of thing.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck happened? And it was just from watching my videos.
Wow.
Which is trippy, right? Which is, I honestly do believe that's probably the only reason why I'm still on the space. It's like, because we have a dope connection with fans.
Yeah.
And they, you know, when you hear stuff like that, it's like, damn, I guess I kind of do good work, you know, for in the unintended way.
I mean, I tell people all the time, like, if there's anything that I feel like gives me purpose, it's when someone writes me or says that I like pulled them out of a dark place,
yeah,
or
man,
you know, helped them get through something. Even like, you know, if it's just as small as me just or us just joking about our dicks, it's like you never really know how much that could affect somebody who's just like, who just needs a laugh, you know what I'm saying? And like, I know a lot of people say that, a lot of people in like the influencer space will be like, yeah, you know, like, I help someone like get out of depression or whatever. But you know, it's true. It's like when you, the fact that we can just make these silly videos and someone can get that out of it, right? It does make me feel like, oh, okay, I'm here for a reason.
During pandemic, because I was doing a lot of like, you know, comedy videos or whatever,
mm-hmm.
There's like hundreds of all these like Instagram influencers that hit me up.
Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, doesn't really mean much, but it was like interesting where I'm also not somebody who like, if I message somebody and they don't hit me back up, I don't feel a certain way.
Right.
I'm just letting them know that I think they're funny,
yeah,
or I like what they do is dope. Whether they respond or not doesn't affect me supporting them.
Yeah.
And so there was a couple people, not going to call them out, but legit, I responded back. I was like, hey, I just saw this. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. And actually know other stuff. And I was like, yeah, I follow you too. Your stuff is dope. And it kind of goes on red. And then he just goes, yeah, sure. And I'm like, you know who the fuck you are. And you could bring up the DM if you want and put it on your channel if you want. Because I basically wrote back to him. I was like, are you upset because I didn't respond back? He's like, he's like, yeah, like I saw your stuff. I look up to you. And then you look at my numbers and now you hit me back up. And I'm like, number one, didn't look at your numbers. Number two, I saw the blue check and I was like, oh, I follow you.
Yeah.
So that's why I talked back to you. And I'm like, the fact that you're upset because you wanted to make a fucking TikTok video with me and I didn't make it with you is fucking ridiculous. Like, if you appreciated my shit, just appreciate it like I appreciate your stuff. I like your stuff. I share your things.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. What the fuck's the problem? Why are people so mad?
And that's their villain origin story, bro.
And then now they're just going to be like, this guy, David So, I DM'd him, told him he was super cool, and he didn't respond back for 2 years.
That's why he needs to go back to China.
And I'm going back there, and I'm going to find your grandma, and I'm going to fuck her, and I'm going to make her go, my vagina is so amazing.
Hey guys, goodiebrand.com. Goodiebrand.com, we got a bunch of new shirts dropping, or they might have already dropped. Goodiebrand.com, check it out.
And you can go ahead and check Secret Society. That's SERTSOCIETY. We're out of most of our stuff for the new line, but we still got some good shit. Check it out.
Thank you for listening. Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I'm David So.
Bye.
Bye.
Yo, it's the dudes behind the food. The dudes behind the food.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.